Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. The topic of our study today is, go to the ant, thou sluggard. You know, somebody that's a sluggard, we call a slug. Just gives you the idea that he's not doing much motion and he ain't going very far. Let's read the text and you'll see why. Verse 6, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. All right. The result of sluggardness is poverty. And you can make application to your life as far as your business is concerned or anything else that you do. If you're going to be lazy in your business, then you're not going to make it. You're going to produce at a mediocre level, and when things get tough in the economy concerning your area of business, you'll be out of business. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that ever went out of business was lazy. Some men were very, very diligent in their business, and the economy turned in such a way they couldn't avoid it. It just came. I mean, I recognize how that happens, but there are lots of people that are no longer producing for themselves because they just won't hit a lick at a snake. They won't work. They're lazy. They're sluggards. Now, there you go. Okay, enough said about that in the practical world. You understand that completely. If you work hard, then, and you work wisely, then you're going to produce more and you're going to make it. You know, there are people right now that have cyclical businesses, and they save up during the time when things are good so that when the times are down, they've got enough money to be able to make their payroll and their payables until things get good again. That's like the ant that provides her meat in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. That's very wise. That's good business. You know that there's going to be cycles, and you save back at times when you know that the cycle is high so that you'll have it when the cycle is low. And a wise man, a man that's not lazy, a man that's awake, will do that. But now let's make the application to Christianity. Let's bring it down to the spiritual things and see about this. There's an awful lot of laziness in Christianity these days. And so we need a good lesson from the ant to get out of this lethargy that's come upon us. There, lots of Christians are very lethargic today, almost apathetic. They're going to leave the work to somebody else that is paid on the staff of the church, and they're going to show up, they're going to be entertained, they're going to go home and let somebody else worry about the problems. Listen, Christians seem satisfied to sit on their behinds and be entertained these days, and that's why a lot of the churches now are going to entertainment. Video screens and rock and roll music and happy go lucky entertainment type of an atmosphere with a real high pep rally buzz, and I'm telling you what, that's putting Christians to sleep, man. A Christian would be lazy and enjoy a show like that. That's what you do when you go to a concert. You sit in the seat and let the band entertain you. Now look, you need to get up out of that easy chair. You need to get up out of the recliner. You need to get out of the pew. You need to get up off the couch. They call somebody that sits on the couch as much as people do these days a couch potato. You need to get going for God. You only have a little time left. It won't be long before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. I'm not a date setter, but it's soon. Everybody I talk to, even professing Christians who aren't saved, know that we don't have much time left. The constant cry and plea of missionaries and pastors is the same cry and the same plea. They say, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. There's a harvest out there. The ants know that. During the harvest, an ant just goes, I mean, scurries around, lays it all up inside of the ant mound. And then in the winter, when there's nothing like that for them to eat, they've got plenty of food stored by. They know exactly how to do it. They're not lazy. Christians, we've gotten lazy. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. There is a harvest still to be gleaned, a harvest still to be reaped. Where are the laborers? Well, they're at home. Look, man, let's get with the program. Unplug the TV. Recycle the magazines. Turn off the computer. All that surfing is bad for your eyes anyway. Take the family out with a pocket full of tracts and go tell someone about Jesus. Get in the kitchen. Cook up a good meal and invite your neighbors for a meal and a chance to hear about the Lord. Do something for Jesus. There is a harvest out there. He said the fields are already white under harvest. You just got to have somebody that will go out there and get that harvest and reap that harvest. Say, I don't want to do that. Listen, other people have already sown the seed. I had the opportunity recently to lead a couple to the Lord. And man, that was some of the easiest reaping that I've had in a long time. And the reason is somebody else had already done a lot of sowing and a lot of praying. There are still souls out there like that that are just waiting for you. Unplug the TV, recycle the magazines, turn off the computer, and get out there and do something for God. Invite your neighbors over to your house. Give them something nice to drink or a nice meal and talk to them about Jesus. Head down to the church and tell your pastor that you are reporting for duty, whatever that may be. Tell him, whatever you've got for me, preacher, I'm going to do it. I want to help you in your ministry. I want to enter the harvest. You've got free time. You go to work at 8, get off at 5. What are you going to do for the next 3.5, 4 hours of sunlight? You say, well, I need to spend time with the family. Yeah, so do I. So sit down together and have your nice meal, then go down there to the church and tell your preacher, leave something there for me to do. There's lots to be done. Mow your own lawn and give the savings that you would have paid to the yard man to missions. And enter the harvest that way. Help your neighbor with a job and use it to open a gospel preaching opportunity. Help him build his fence. Take down a tree. Weed his flower bed. Wash his car. Whatever it may be. Just use that as an opportunity to preach the gospel. Get with folks in the church and lend someone a helping hand. Go find somebody that's got a broken down porch on their house or a yard they can't keep because they're a widow now, or something like that. Whatever the case may be, go help them out. Find all the time stealers in your life, get organized, and do something to please God that will fare you well at the judgment seat of Christ. Quit being a sluggard. You say, preacher, you've gone to meddling. I like to lie around my house when I'm done. Break it off, man. I like to, whatever I do, 3-4 times a week. That keeps me from having to do the Lord's work. Break some of that thing off. I need some recreation. I know you need some recreation, and a little of it goes a long way, according to the Bible. Get what you need and spend some time doing something for Jesus Christ rather than being a slug. Now, what are you going to learn from this old ant that's in here? Well, he says in verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. You say, well, I don't think I'm lazy. Well, let's check out what the ant does, and then let the ant tell you whether you're lazy or not. And then if you are, consider her ways and be wise. Do something about it. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. The first thing we notice about the ant, that the ant does the work that he or she does. It says here, go to the ant, thou sluggard. It talks about her meat. She does this without a guide, an overseer, or a ruler. And you've got all three. In verse 7, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, she'll do this without somebody on her the whole time to make her sure that she's getting it done. You have a guide. You have an overseer. You have a ruler. You say, well, but who's my guide? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And you don't think the Holy Spirit knows where the work is that needs to be done and what needs to be done that will fare you well at the judgment seat of Christ and also accomplish the eternal purposes of God's work in this earth before he sets up his kingdom? I'm going to tell you, he knows exactly what needs to be done. That Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now there you go. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You're led. You're a son of God if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And therefore you are led by the Spirit of God. You don't think He knows where you need to go and how you need to spend your time? You know what the hardest thing is getting out of that backslidden condition where there's so much fog in your head and in your heart that He has to penetrate. You can't even hear Him as He's persuading you to go do something good for God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. You've got an overseer. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Peter says to the elders, those are pastors, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind. Overseer. You have a pastor who oversees you. I mean, he's concerned for your faith. Just the other day, last week, I was having an opportunity to address our Wednesday night prayer meeting group and Bible study group there and at the church, and I said, hey, let me tell you something. We've got a great opportunity coming up. We really do. Buccaneer Days is right around the corner, May the 6th. Going to have a big parade that night. I said, you know, this would be a tremendous opportunity to get with your family, get some tracts, meet us there, get about six or eight guys preaching to small groups, passing out tracts, visiting with folks about the Lord Jesus Christ, because they're just sitting there waiting with their barbecue and sandwiches and automobiles and their friends on the parade coming that evening. I said, man, what a tremendous opportunity. And you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? As a pastor, I have oversight over a congregation, and I was giving them an opportunity to see something that they could do together in that position of oversight, giving them an idea, hey, saying, where is a potential harvest? It's over there. Now, that's not the only one. There are many that are coming up, but that's like a good idea right there. You have a ruler, Hebrews 13, verses 7, 17, and 24. You're under the authority of God. You're under the authority of Jesus Christ. You are under the authority of the Word of God. You're under the authority of your pastor. Now, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, if your pastor is to... Oh, I need to be charitable here. Something just came to mind. But I was going to say, if he's a stuff shirt, he wouldn't dare get his hands dirty by taking the gospel to the streets or to the neighborhoods or whatever to talk to people about Jesus Christ, that it's going to be hard for you to follow his faith into an area where there are a lot of people waiting to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because he's not doing it himself. But if he's the kind of fellow that doesn't mind getting out there and talking to people in their homes about the Lord Jesus Christ, you got a chance at following his faith. You know, I've not recently, ever since been here in this church, been making visits with folks in their homes and hospitals and wherever else people are that need to be seen. And, I'm amazed, but I keep hearing over and over again, this is the first pastoral visit that we've ever had in our lives, and I'm just bowled over by that. What are the preachers doing? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. A man that has the rule over you is interested in your profit. That is unprofitable for you. It's profitable for you if you'll submit yourself to that, and because he's watching for your soul, because he's got to give an account. And if his account is good, your account will be good. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Now, let me tell you, you have what an ant doesn't have. You have a guide, an overseer, and a ruler. God's word is your authority. God Almighty and Jesus Christ are over you. A pastor oversees you. The Holy Spirit guides you. I didn't even show you John 16, 13, where the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. But John 16, 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. See, what we're preaching here is to Christians not to be satisfied with mediocrity and laziness. And Christians are. It is not enough for you just simply to go to church and occupy your place in the pew one day a week. I mean, I know your preacher is glad to see you when you do. I'm glad to see our folks when they do. Very glad. It's better than not having them in the pew, so don't get me wrong. But you know what? You can take it up a notch. You can take it up a notch. You don't have to go all the way to the top of the class all in a moment of time. You can work up to it. But isn't there something else yet to be done in the harvest of the Lord Jesus Christ that you can do? You can pray. You can pass a tract. Why don't you at your church get a handful of tracts, and then when you leave and you go to the restaurant, give the waitress a tract when you give her the tip. What's so hard about that? You're doing a little something. Why not do that? When you go to the grocery store, why not give the cashier a tract? You say, well, my church doesn't have any tracts on the tract rack. Then, you're going to have a hard time doing that. I mean, seriously, a church that calls itself a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that doesn't have tracts, how are they going to assist you in getting the Word of God into the hand of somebody else when they've got a chance to read it? You know, what they're saying basically is we're not soul conscious. We're not concerned about getting the gospel into somebody else's hand. Listen. If you were on to a business deal that was so good that it wouldn't make any difference if everybody else in the world got in it, it wouldn't dilute your ownership in the business. It would only improve your ownership in the business. Wouldn't you be inclined to tell somebody else about him if it was a sure deal and there was absolutely no way in the world that they could lose? And on the by the same token, it was something that was so good, it would actually improve them 100%. Wouldn't you be inclined to tell somebody else about that? Well, that's what the gospel is. The gospel is an absolute sure deal. It improves your position in the company, so to speak, when you tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives somebody else an opportunity to get in on the goods you have. It doesn't dilute your ownership one bit, and it gets them out of hell. And you're not willing to open your mouth and tell somebody? Then the Bible says you're a sluggard because you're not in the harvest. You're not providing your meat in the harvest. Ooh, these messages are rough, but they have to be preached. We are, as Christians, too lethargic. You need to get up off of it and get going for God. Look at verse 8. The ant provides her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. What's the meat? Well, you know, meat in the Bible oftentimes is likened to the Bible itself, to the words of God. In Hebrews chapter 5, Paul's writing there, and he says this. He says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." It's like you got to go all the way back to your ABCs, your kindergarten, your vacation Bible school training. "When for the time you ought to be teachers," you've been saved long enough, you ought to be able to teach, "you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat, like a baby with a bottle and a nipple. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Can you find 5 verses in your Bible to show a person how to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior? Can you show them 3 verses on the judgment and what's going to happen to them if they don't get saved? Then you're on milk, man. You're sitting there. You're simply going and taking up place in the pew and putting a little money in the plate to satisfy your conscience. The Bible says in verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, have their senses exercised," "to discern both good and evil." Are you exercising yourself in the Word of God? Are you using the Word of God? Can you handle strong meat? The ant can. The ant provides her meat in the summer. What do? I can remember, listen, you say, well, I'm in a very responsible position. I don't have much time for this. By the time I get home, man, I'm exhausted. Tell me about it. When I was president of a bank, there's a little responsibility associated with that, in case you didn't know, particularly in the 80s when things were tough in the business. There was a lot to do. But you know, I found myself, and I'm only telling you this to encourage you, to provoke you to good work. I had a lot of responsibility, a lot of mental stuff to deal with, a lot of obligations, a lot of social engagements. But when I came home from work, I'd get out of that suit. I had a closet that was really, it was built inside of a dormer in a house. I'd take off that suit. I'd put on my sweatpants and I'd sit down. There was a table inside of there. And I would open up my Bible, flip on a lamp, and I'd begin to study that Bible. Man, I just couldn't get enough. You need to study your Bible. Look, if meat is the Word of God and you're unskillful in it, then what are you doing? Are you providing your own meat, or are you depending on someone else to do your providing for you? You're just showing up to church and letting the Sunday school teacher teach you and letting the preacher preach to you, and you go home and you're not going to bother to open the Bible the rest of the week. How are you ever going to get anything out of that thing personally? You see? It's a sign of laziness. It's a sign that, oh, well, I'd rather turn the TV on. Now, look, can't you balance it? I mean, you don't want to get rid of it because you want to watch the news or the Discovery Channel or whatever it is that you watch. Can't you balance it? Can't you get enough conviction in your heart where you're able to watch a little of that and read and study some Bible on your own so that you are providing your meat in summer? So that when God calls upon you to teach somebody else to help in the work or to lead somebody else to Christ, you've at least got enough verses and enough understanding of the Bible to know how to do it? Look at the ant. She gathers in harvest, the Bible says. Gathereth her food in the harvest, verse 8. There's a harvest right now. There still is. I realize that it's harder to lead souls to Christ now than it was 20 years ago when I started doing it. But it's not impossible. It may take more time. Hey, but you've got time. You can make the time. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 9:37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You say, oh, now if I thought I could lead a lot of souls to Jesus Christ, well, I might even quit my job to do that. Hey, that's not such a bad idea. I know a lot of friends of mine that have done that. You say, what? Yes. You know what they did? They realized that there were harvests to be had in foreign fields that had not been saturated with the gospel as much as we've been saturated in the United States of America. Fields like Mozambique and Africa and Asian countries, even some of which have been closed. And even countries that are nearby in South America and in Mexico. These guys in the Philippines and places like that, they are racking up huge harvests of souls. And I'm talking about people that are really getting saved, whose lives are changing, that are in and up in their churches and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all over the place. And you know what every one of those missionaries is writing me? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You say, I thought I could go out and win several hundred souls to Christ every year. Yeah, boy, I'd get up. Why don't you get up? Why don't you get up? Why don't you go to the field? You say, well, I don't know what to do. Then get under a man who can train you what to do. Missionaries are calling, what meetings these days, and I'm asking them what kind of training they've got. Well, they've been riding bus routes. That's good, but they don't know how to start churches. Now, I've got some men right here in the church. We're training in the Bible, and we're going to be training them on personal work and how to start churches and how to develop ministries. Who knows what God's going to do in their hearts? But I want them prepared, even if they end up teaching Sunday school and leading souls to Christ out of this church and never going anywhere else but here. But if God should call them, I want them, as much as I know how, to have some idea of being prepared to get a church up off the ground so they can go do something for God in the harvest, like an ant, and at least not be lazy. Oh, I'll tell you what, I like it when a man will show up here on a Thursday night and study. He's already been here on Sunday. He's already been here on Wednesday. He makes an effort to come back again on Thursday to study some more. Why? So he can do something good for God. Praise the Lord, man. You know what he's doing? He's an ant. He's an ant, not a sluggard. In verses 9 and 10, you know what your problem is, really? It's sleep. You're sleepy. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. You know, it doesn't take much. The Bible tells us in the society that we live in, we have got to wake up. Wake up and go do something for God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What did he tell you to do? He said, wake up. Wake up. And Christ will give you light. And then redeem that time, those past times where you weren't serving the Lord. Find out what the, and understand what the will of the Lord is, and then be filled with the Spirit so you can get the work done. He's not going to leave you to that all by yourself, but you got to wake up. And listen, it just takes a little too much sleep to do too much damage. He said here, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Now you say, well, I need a nap every day. Okay, we'll take the nap. You say, I need 8 hours of sleep every night. Okay, good, get the sleep. Then just be a better manager of your time, so after you've put in your time with your company for your pay, that you can manage your time well enough to be able to go do something else for God and not let that little extra sleep keep you as a sluggard. Listen, you're going to have to give an account of your life before the Lord Jesus Christ by the time it's all over. You're going to have to stand there and give an account of what you've done for the Lord. And if all you've done is work a job and come home and watch TV and eat popcorn and sleep, you're going to have nothing to show for all that Christ has done for you. You're going to end up in poverty. And that's the last verse, verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. A traveler, a hobo, a prodigal son, a homeless, a beggar. That's what you're going to be like. You're going to have nothing to show for it except for the clothes on your back and whatever you have in your knapsack. Or he said your poverty will become on you like an armed man. Well, an armed man doesn't work. Well, he may consider what he's doing work. He robs. He robs to get what he wants, but often has little because the thief doesn't store up. He can't. He's on the move. And he doesn't work. He only goes out when he is ready for his next fix. And nothing to show for what he's done. I don't want you to be like that. I don't want you to turn in that kind of account to the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to be like the ant, not like the sluggard. And I hope that what you've heard here today has provoked you to get up and go do something for God where God wants you to do it. I really do. And I pray to that end that that's what happens from the preaching of the words of God. Amen? All right, then. Go do it. Be you a doer of the word and not hearers only.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.